The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Jesus is moved to sorrow when his friend Lazarus falls ill and dies. Then in a dramatic scene, he calls his friend out of the tomb and restores him to life. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going to go there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called a twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said to them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you had believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now it's time to switch gears. After all those verses in Jesus' day, we're going to go back 600 years to the time of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a young priest who lived in the very darkest days of the Old Testament. In 597 BC, the armies of the Empire of Babylon swept through the Middle East. The northern tribes of Israel had been destroyed a century and a half earlier, and all that was left to the people of God was the tiny country of Judah. Little Judah never had a chance against Babylon. Their army was quickly swept off the field. And after the battle, the civil and religious leaders and the wealthy and the middle class were forced to leave the promised land, the land of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and forced to live in exile in the city of Babylon. We believe that Ezekiel was a young Jewish priest who was one of those that was forced to leave the promised land for this pagan city of Babylon. And there from Babylon, Ezekiel watched from afar helplessly as the tragedy continued. The Babylonians installed a puppet king over Judah. And after a few years, that puppet king got greedy. And 8 years later, that puppet king rebelled and declared his independence from Babylon. And the armies of Babylon came again and returned to the land of Judah. That puppet king retreated to the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and for 2 years he held out against the besieging armies of Babylon. But eventually, starving and without water, the city of Jerusalem surrendered. This time, Babylon was much more brutal to the people of Israel. Thousands were slaughtered. The walls of Jerusalem that the puppet king hid behind was torn down. The temple was destroyed. The city was burned. The fields and crops were destroyed. And there were more that were deported to Babylon. For the people that were left behind in the promised land, life was terrible. The temple was gone. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and many of their neighbors were deported or murdered. Their religious leaders were gone. They were hungry. It seemed as if God had turned their back on them. And over in Babylon, for Ezekiel and those living in there, they had a different problem. Babylon was a magnificent city. Its armies were strong. They were conquering the known world. Its God seemed all-powerful. And those Jews living in Babylon were abandoning the faith by droves. There in Babylon, faith in Yahweh, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, was dying. So for the faithful people of God, like this priest Ezekiel, all seems to be lost. The people of God wondered if this was the end of their story. The people's lives, the people's future, the people's hope seemed like it was a field of dry, dead bones. But then one night, Ezekiel has a vision. Ezekiel the priest has a vision of a great field of dry bones suddenly coming together. Bone to bone and sinew to sinew and muscle to muscle and flesh to flesh. It must have been kind of interesting that most of the way through there was, you know, through this, there was an army of dead people standing before Ezekiel. They have bones and they have sinews and they have muscles and flesh, and they're standing before Ezekiel, but they're still dead. If you excuse the illusion, they're dead man walking, or rather dead men's standing. And what finally gives life to them is when God breathes his spirit into them. Once they have God's breath, once they have God's spirit, they're alive once again. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be good or they're going to live happily ever after. They still have many long years of the exile in front of them. And even when the exile is over, they're going to remain a conquered people without a country for the next 2,500 years or so. But now they have hope. They have strength. They have a future. And what brings them that hope and that strength and that future is the breath or the Spirit of God. I must say there are times in all of our lives when things grow difficult. Perhaps our future isn't as desolate as a field of dry bones. But for all of us, there are times that we struggle in our lives. I know there are times in which our financial future might seem bleak. But let me tell you a secret. Them bones are going to rise again. There are times when we struggle with health issues. both our own and those that we live. There are times when we struggle with seeing loved ones grow feeble. It's hard to see them as the people that they weren't in the past. But we need to remember that them bones are going to rise again. There are times when we care for people as they end their journey through this life. And not only do we mourn their passing from our lives, but it also reminds us of our own mortality. As I was telling the kids, there's times when we disappoint others. There are times in our deepest heart of hearts where we know that we have disappointed God. There are times in which life has this way of sending us curveballs that catch us blindsided, like a sudden pink slip, or divorce papers, or an unexpected illness. There are times in which we look to the future with fear. There are times when looking for a pastor seems to take so long. There are times when we wonder, does God really love me? Does he really care? What this vision says is dim bones are going to rise again. God has given us all the gift of his Spirit. He's given us that same breath that turns that mighty army of dead man standing into a host of living, breathing people. You know, God's Spirit is among us. God is with us as we gather this day as a people of faith. Jesus tells us a couple of times in the Gospels, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I will be with them. God is with us today. God is with us as we share the bread and wine. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. And God promises that he's going to walk with us through our journey of life, no matter where that journey of life takes us. You know, I think last words are really important. Listen to these last words in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always." Always. Even to the end of time. But like the people who first heard the story of Ezekiel's vision, God's presence doesn't always mean that life is going to be easy. For the people of Ezekiel's time, life at times was still going to be hard, and even very hard. It doesn't mean that we are not going to live our lives without pain or sorrow or tragedy. But what it does mean is God's Spirit is among us and present among us. And that gives us hope and strength and new life, even amidst the hard things of this life. Hear the words of the psalmist. "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, and they will not faint. For dem bones gonna rise again.